Greetings and welcome back to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. This is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and it is my privilege to be studying the book of Shmuel with you. We are now in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Gimel, the 23rd chapter of the first book of Samuel, and we follow David in his travels as he journeys through the land of Yehuda and in his escape from Shaul. Vayigidu leDavid leEmor, hinei plishtim nilchamim bikeilah. He finds out, he is told that the plishtim are fighting in Ki'ilah. Again, the strong recommendation is to get a good Bible atlas, or if failing that, to at least check online. Most of these places are places that we at least know with general certainty, if not absolute certainty, as to their location. You can easily see where David traveled, his crisscrossing the southern part of the country. He heard that the plishtim are fighting in Ki'ilah, vehema shosim et hagoranot. They are despoiling the granaries. In other words, the plishtim's method of fighting was not to come and wage a normal battle, but to basically despoil the crops to make the area unlivable for the citizens there who are from Shevet Yehuda. This is not atypical of the way that the plishtim fight. We find this all the way back in the first wave of plishtim in the 26th chapter of Bereshit. In Perek Chavav, we find that the plishtim sealed up the wells that Avraham had dug and that Yitzchak then had to redig. And sealing up wells, of course, benefits nobody. It just harms others. So that's the same thing that's happening here. Vayishal David ba'Adonai. So David then asked God. This is the first time that we see David doing this. And he will continue to do this until the time that the Aron arrives in Yerushalayim, at which point that will cease. David asks of God, and we have to assume now that it's the sudden presence of Evyatar in his camp, the Kohen with the Ephod, that is going to allow him to now have access to asking God. What does he ask? Ha'elech v'ketiv ha'plishtim ha'ela, shall I go and attack these plishtim? Right? And Vayomer Adonai el David, lech v'ketiv ha'plishtim v'shatat ki'ilah, go and attack the plishtim. Save Ki'ilah. So this again is one of the two reasons David stays in Yehuda as per the advice of God Hanavi, in order to both create a constituency and backing for his future monarchy, and also to be able to help and save the people of Yehuda who do not have the protection of Shaul, at least not now. So David is ready to go, but he's got 400 men. And they say to him, Hinei anachnu po b'Yehuda yiraim. Here we are afraid hiding in Yehuda, because we're afraid Shaul's going to come get us. Someone's going to rat us out. This is a kalvachomer. And how much more so are we going to be afraid if we go to Ki'ilah and fight with the plishtim? So what does David do? Yosef od David lishol ba'Adonai. He asked God again. Kum raid Ki'ilah. Go down to Ki'ilah. Now it's not just permission, it's a command. The plishtim will be in your hands. You're going to win. And evidently, either the men were privy to this conversation, or else they believed David when he told them, or perhaps Evyatar did. In any case, here we go. And again, as often and almost always happens in Tanakh, the conversation around the battle is what is given the most press. The battle itself is given very little press. They went to Ki'ilah, they fought the plishtim, he led their cattle away. Evidently, their cattle was the method that they used to destroy the granot. They would bring them to eat up all the food. Vayach bahem makah gdola. He hit them with a big strike. Vayosha David yoshvei Ki'ilah. And David saved the residents of Ki'ilah. Good. And now, vahi bivroach Evyatar ben Achimelech David Ki'ilah efod yarad biyado. And now this yarad is in the past perfect that we discussed back in Perek Yod. And so we see that this is now backing up and explaining how David is asking God that when Evyatar ran away, he came towards Ki'ilah, he brought an ephod with him. Good, and that is sort of a backup to the story. And now, Vayugad leShaul. Shaul now found out that David has come to Ki'ilah. How did he find out? Because he heard the people in Ki'ilah were under threat, and David and his men came and saved them. So Vayomer Shaul, Nikar Ota Elohim Biyadi, God has recognized him to me as kind of pointed him out to me. Kinisgar lavo beird la time of Riach. He has now got himself locked into a city that's got gates and a bolt. In other words, Shaul is reading this event of David going to save the people of Ki'ilah, which, by the way, Shaul should have been doing. Instead of sitting and worrying about David, he should have been saving his own people. But in the meantime, David went to say to the people of Keilah, Shaul sees this as God's way of handing David over to him. Suddenly, David has made his presence known, and David is inside of a walled city. And a walled city that we will assume for a moment, strangely enough, will feel more loyalty to Shaul than David, and will help Shaul catch David. But that's going to be what plays out. Vayishama Shaul et kol ha'am l'milchama. Now Shaul calls everybody to war. The last time Shaul called everybody to war, it was a war against Amalek, against our sworn enemy. Now he calls everybody to war, to go to war against his own people, Keilah, or more directly, against David. So he's not ready to take the army to Keilah to save them, but he is really ready to take an army to go get David. That's what happens when you've got this sort of ruach ra'ah. Lared Keilah latsur al David ve'al anashav, to lay a siege against David and his men. Vayeda David ki alav Shaul macharei shara'ah. So David knew that Shaul was after him. Whether he knew that Shaul was now on his way down now, but he knew that Shaul would be coming. Vayom, the word macharei shara'ah means he's kind of plowing the evil. In other words, he's planning. Vayom al Aviatar koin hagisha eifod. And now again he says to Aviatar, bring the eifod. Again he's going to ask. Vayom David Adonai Elohi Israel. He addresses God. Shamoa shama avdecha. Okay, Shaul of Keilah. I've heard that Shaul is coming to Keilah. A shachet la ir bavuri. He's going to destroy the city on my account, which of course is doubly painful. I just saved the city, and now Shaul is going to come and destroy the city because of me. He asks two questions. Hayaskiruni va'ale Keilah v'yado. Will the citizens or the elders of Keilah hand me over to him? Hayared Shaul kasher shama avdecha. And is Shaul coming down? So which means he asked two questions and he asked them in the wrong order. First he asked, will the people hand me over? And second of all, is Shaul even coming? As I heard, Adonai Elohei Yisrael hagedna la'avdecha. And again he addresses God with a full title. Please tell me. Vayomer Adonai Yered. And God answers the second question first. Yes, he's coming down. But in answer to the first question, which is, where are they going to hand you over? Or is it going to be a standoff? The truth is, that answer alone should be enough for David to know he's better get out, because either way, the people of Keilah are going to be in trouble when Shaul is coming. But he asked the second question. David, hayaskiru ba'alei Keilah oti, et anashai biyad Shaul, will they hand me over and my men over to Shaul? And God said, yes, they will hand you over. Now notice, God taught him something about how to use this ephod. First of all, you can only ask one question at a time, and it's got to be in a reasonable order. First of all, is Shaul coming? And second of all, will they hand you over? And the answer is yes, which raises some larger questions which are beyond the context of this forum, but I'll just point out what the questions are. If Shaul is going to come down and attack David, attack the city, and the people of the city will hand David over, then why did Hashem also tell David to go down and fight? And the short answer is that it was the right thing for David to do, to go and fight, and the consequence of that is that Shaul's going to come after him, and the people of Keilah, to save their skin or for some other sense of loyalty, are going to hand you over. That doesn't mean that the first act was wrong. It just means that even right acts have consequences which maybe are not always desirable. Witness Yaakov's taking the brachot and ending up in the hands of Lavan. Witness David later on in his career fighting wars, which is certainly the right thing, but nonetheless being disallowed from building the Mikdash. Vayakom David on Ashav k'shesh miotish. Again, this word vayakom, we've seen this many times in Tanakh, where a group does something and the verb used is in the singular. The indication is that the leader led them. Vatashar dvor avrak ben avinom, vatadaber miryam v'yaharon. Here, vayakom David on Ashav, David and his men got up, meaning that David led his men up, and now suddenly there's not 400, there are 600 men, k'shesh miotish, and that will be the number until David becomes king. He's got 600 men with him. That's the number we will follow throughout the rest of Shmuel Aleph. And that is very indicative, because if you recall, when Shaul had his very small army, it was an army of 3,000. The number three different lines of attack that Shaul led against the people back in Perek Yodalad. This is something that is, and back in Perek Yodalad, this is something that is very common and typical of Shaul. David, on the other hand, the number 6 seems to play critically for him, and I will comment on that, but only when we get into Shmuel Bet. There is some real significance to it, and it affects not only our understanding of the relationship between David and Shaul, it may even help us interpret properly some things in Megillat Rut, which of course is, no pun intended, the root of David's monarchy. Okay, the pun was half intended. In any case, they left Keila, they walked wherever they walked. We don't care. What we care about is they left. Let's say Shaul heard that David had left, and then he went away. He stopped. Because he knew when David was in Keila, so I had him in the crosshairs. But now I don't know where he is, so there's no point in going after him. So he went into the desert in the Mitzadot. Again, a Mitzadah is a cropping, a rock cropping, on top of a mountain. Vayeshev Bahar b'midbar Zif. He was on top of a mountain in the desert of Zif, which is south of Hebron. Vayvakshehu Shaul kol hayamim v'lon tanu alehim biyado. And Shaul was looking for him the whole time, and God did not allow him to find him, which means Shaul had some sort of blinders on him. Vayar David ki yatzah Shaul vakesh nafsho, David b'midbar Zif b'chorsha. And David saw that Shaul was coming out to see him, and in the meantime David is in this midbar in Chorsha, which may mean some sort of a forest, or maybe the name of a place. In the meantime, Vayakum Yonatan ben Shaul. Remember, they haven't seen each other this whole time. Vayelech David Chorsha. He went to David in Chorsha. Vayechazek et yado b'Elohim. He supported him. He gave him moral support for what he was doing. Vayomer Elah. Now notice, Yonatan finds him with no problem, which either means that Hashem led Yonatan to him, and David's hard to find, or it means David is not hard to find, and Shaul just has blinders on. From Pasuk Yodalad, it seems that Shaul really had blinders on, and God did not let him find him. We will see a more extravagant example of that in Perak Chavav in a number of days. In any case, Vayomer Elav, Al Tira, don't be afraid. Ki lo timtzacha yad Shaul avi. I know Shaul is not going to find you. V'atatim lo chal Yisrael, and you're going to be the king. V'anochi elachal mishne, and this is the most powerful statement. And I will be your second in command. Yonatan says, you're going to be the king, and I'll be your second in command. Very powerful for a crown prince to say. And guess what? Father knows it also. Everybody knows it. They again made a brit. I have yet to see anybody comment on what the manifestation of all these different britot. Does it mean that they had a meal together? Does it mean that they made some further commitment? What's this extra brit that we find back in Perek Yorchet, and then back in Perek Chaf, and now here? Is there something extra that's going on? Unclear. Something to look into. And they will never see each other again. Yonatan went back. David stayed in Chorsha. In the meantime, we now have another set of rats. We had Doeg Hadomi, and now we have the Zifim. The people live in Zif. So the Zifim came up to Givah, and they said, "Hello, David, Mistater Imanu. David's hiding with us." They give him the exact location where he is. South of the desolate area, the Shimon, up in the hills, etc., that's where he is. Now, why are the Zifim ratting out David? It may be that the Zifim don't like David. It may be that the Zifim are afraid that if David is there and Shaul is there, there's going to be war. They want to get rid of it. They don't want war in their territory. It could be that they want to get on Shaul's good side. We don't know, but the Zifim are really treated as rats and as informers. And we find this also in Tehillim Nun Dalet, where the Zifim come and tell Shaul that David is here. We see them presented in a very, very unfavorable light. And now we'll see what happens in the narrative itself. Come down whenever you are ready or however you want to. They're telling the king. And we will hand him over to you. That's what these people are offering to do, to hand David over to the king. He blesses them. He says, "You're very blessed to God because you had compassion for me, and therefore it's blessing him." She said, "Go and prepare more, because he knows David is tricky. See where his feet are. See where he is. Mira usham. Do you have any witnesses?" Because I know that he'll be very tricky. And David is very tricky. You better make sure he's there again. Find all the hiding places where he might be. And come back to me. El Nachon is a very difficult phrase. Some say it means come back to me right away. Come back to me with clarity. It may even be the name of a place. It may be, as someone suggested a number of years ago, a reference to an army base, which would then apply, be an interpretation also for Goren Nachon up in Shmuel Bet Perak Vav, which is a different place. V'halachti itchem, and then I'll come with you. He's there. I'm going to find throughout all the areas of Yehuda. I'll find him. But make sure he's there. So they went down to Zifa, to Zif. And they are in the Midbar of Ma'on. Ma'on we'll hear about in 2 days, in reference to Naval, and south of the Shimon. So he is where the Zifim reported him to be. And so they went to look for him. David, and David found out. Vayered Hasela, he went down to some huge boulder. So Shaul went to chase him. And now watch what happens. They're on two sides of this huge mountain, of this mountain, which is a huge boulder. David is running away from Shaul. Otrim means circling, like an atara, like a crown. They're trying to chase them. It's almost like a wily coyote. And suddenly, in the middle, while Shaul is about to catch David, a messenger comes and says, Shaul, come, the Plishtim are attacking the land, you have to defend. Now, beforehand, Shaul was not willing to defend against the attacks of the Plishtim. But here he really doesn't have an excuse. His army's with him. And somebody evidently makes a loud pronouncement that the Plishtim are coming. You gotta save him. He can't continue to chase David. So Shaul left, he went to the Plishtim. Therefore, they called that the boulder of splitting. It's the boulder of separation, where Shaul went one way, and now David was able to run away a different way. And Shaul, of course, couldn't find David anymore, because while Shaul left to fight the Plishtim, David took off. Parenthetically, that word slightly flipped in the times of the Rishonim and used as Sela HaMachloket, the rock of disagreement, which is a way of describing what the real kernel of the conceptual kernel of a disagreement in halacha is. And then David went from there to the Mitzadot over Ein Gedi, and in the next chapter we will read about David's encounter with Shaul in Ein Gedi, and another blip in this whole relationship where it seems that Shaul really is coming back to have a decent relationship with David, but of course that will be as much of an illusion as all of Shaul's promises have been. Everybody should have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the next podcast in Perek Chaf Dalet.